Hi there, and welcome to episode 64 of Evident Inc's Story Strategy Podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about marketing. While I do like to focus on craft because that's fun, marketing can also be fun. And today, we're going to talk about how to figure out what are your comps. You might hear other authors or editors or marketing people talk about the importance of finding your comps. And you may be wondering what the heck they're talking about. So we're going to dive into it today. I'm going to go through the strategies that I use for other authors when I'm helping them to build blurbs, and also for myself when I write as Delancey Stewart. First, I'll give you a quick little update on what's going on in personal stuff for Delancey and Nancy. I am taking fewer editing clients this year in an effort to maximize my writing time and also to focus on building some courses. So that's something that I really enjoy doing, and I have been putting those up on the Evident Inc. shop, which you can find at our website. So if you're interested in any quick hit little courses, there's one there for increasing your understanding of deep POV, which is something that has been really helpful for me in my writing. So I tried to distill into just kind of a really practical course. I think it's like 40 minutes long, but it goes through really what you need to know to employ deep point of view techniques and bring readers closer to your story so that they don't feel like they're being told a story, but instead are kind of living the story, which is what we want, right? We want them to be engaged, and that is one great way to do it. Dawn Alexander also has a fantastic deep POV course. I believe it's called Story Fuel, and you can find that by getting in touch with me or by hitting up the Evident Inc. Facebook page and asking about it, or by going to Dawn's website, which is dawnalexanderbooks.com. So that is what I've been up to in writing news. I am, well, on Thursday, Only a Chance launches in Kindle Unlimited. That is the final book in a 5-book series, which I wrote about a group of former fighter pilots who are renovating a resort in Colorado, which is a little close to home just because I live in Colorado, and also my husband is a former fighter pilot. So you kind of see where I get my ideas. So that's kind of fun. It's the first time I have finished a series really intentionally. Because there was a treasure hunt at the root of the series, I had to finish the treasure hunt, which is something I will never do again, because if you think about all the clues and hints and red herrings that are required for a good treasure hunt, you will begin to see how complicated it will be to write a 5-book series that incorporates a treasure hunt. And I have a hard time keeping straight people's names, let alone what they discovered in the previous book and what I like. I start writing, I don't always have a plan. I'm a discovery writer, kind of a pantser. So this whole hunt has been, I did it because I wanted to see if I could do it. But once you start something like that, you sort of don't have a choice to not be able to do it. So it was hard, but I'm done. And what's been interesting is, while I love that series and everything I write is small town steamy rom-com, basically, these books are a little less rom-com-y probably, but in the background, I started writing a hockey rom-com series, and it's just, there's no comparison how much better the hockey books do in the market right now, which is, I don't know, I guess it's just where the market is. I feel like the Colorado books, Casper Ridge, are just as good, if not better. They're longer. There's a little bit more emotional engagement probably in those stories. But the hockey books do really well, so I can't complain about that. So I am about 3/4 of the way through writing a 4th hockey book, 3rd hockey book. There was a prequel, so This one will be called Puck Proposal, and it's a marriage of convenience, which has been really fun, friends to lovers. I'm enjoying writing this one. Sometimes you get into a book and you realize that you are not having a good time, but you still have to finish it. I haven't felt that way in a while, but that's not a great feeling. I'm sure you know. So anyway, that is what is going on in my world as Delancey and in my world as Nancy. And so now let's hop in and talk about marketing comps. What do I mean when I say, who are your comps? What are your comps? I think comp stands for either competition or comparative. I'm going with comparative because I think what we're trying to do, I know that what we're trying to do is establish the place on the shelf where your book will sit. And in order to know if you were to walk into a physical bookstore where to shelve your book, you have to know what kinds of books are like your book and what kinds of authors write like you do, or what kinds of authors attract the same reader base that you are looking to attract. So we'll start at the beginning. I get new authors reaching out sometimes for blurbs or for just kind of help identifying their market. And the thing that gets said a lot, and I was guilty of this when I began, is, oh, no, my book is not like anyone else's. This has never been done before. Importantly, no story has ever not been told. We know this. They just get told in different, fresh ways. And that is okay. That is fine. Humans enjoy familiarity. When we read a story, the things that connect us to it initially are the things that are familiar to us. So we want familiar stories. That's okay. Your story, if it is really, truly unique and different and has never, ever been done before, you're going to have a hell of a time marketing it, because the way that we appeal to readers is by identifying with those emotional connections that they make to things they love. If they've never approached any of the things that are included in your story, what do they love? How do they know that they will love any part of it, right? So it is not a bad thing to be able to say, my book is like, because that is how you decide how you're going to approach your market. So I want to be clear that I'm not saying that you should write a book just like someone else's book. Of course, you should not. A fresh take is always a great thing. And you've seen so many awesome spin-offs of fairy tales or Jane Austen retellings or, you know, I'm trying to think of some other examples, but a fresh take on a really familiar and beloved thing is great. So don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you can't do your own thing and you should write a book just like your best friend, Fred. Even if Fred's book did really well, you don't want to write Fred's book because you're not Fred. You need to write the book that comes from you. Even if it's the exact same thing Fred wrote. And what I mean by that is, if Fred's book is enemies to lovers, it's a hockey book, it's contemporary romance with some mafia elements, because is that even a thing? I don't know. Even if you are writing that exact same thing, it's not going to be the same book because you and Fred are not the same people, right? Ideally, you are not trying to copy Fred's book either. That helps. So assuming that we are all honest traders and assuming that we are all writing the best book that we can, the next step after we finish writing it, or even while we're still writing it, is to figure out where it fits. So how do we do that? What should you look at to figure out what are your comps? Number one, you want to be able to identify your genre. So most of the people I'm talking to, I'm guessing, understand what that means. You are writing a small town steamy romance, or you are writing a really angsty, emotional, dark romance, or you are writing BDSM, or you are writing paranormal with elements of fantasy, or it doesn't matter what you are writing, as long as you know what you are writing. So again, you're not trying to invent something brand new. You should be able to point to the specific genres and subgenres that your book fits into. So that's number one. Know what genre your book fits into or what subgenre. And if you're blending a couple, that's okay. Know what they are. Okay. Number two, know what style you are writing in. So what do I mean by that? This gets into some gray areas, but mostly I mean, what POV are you using? Are you using two narrators, a male and a female? Do you have a big cast of characters that all have point of view chapters? So it's like a multicast. Are you writing completely from one person's perspective? That's important. So make a note of that. And then what tense are you, or what voice are you using? Are you using first person? So in Delancey's books, I always have two narrators, sometimes three, usually two, a male and a female, and they're first person. So each person is speaking past tense from their own perspective. I write past tense. A lot of romance these days is present tense. Doesn't matter. Kind of matters. I'll go back to that in a second. But know what you are doing, right? And then go look at the market and figure out what your peers are doing. So if I am writing steamy small town contemporary romance and I write first person, dual point of view, past tense, that's great. But if I go, say, to Amazon and I start searching steamy small town romantic comedy and I pull up some books that come up when I do that search and they are all written in third person, single point of view, present tense, I might have a problem. Right? Because my comps, those books that I will be marketing my book next to, are going to be very different from what I'm trying to sell. If someone goes to a farmer's market and they're standing in front of a big booth and it's got a million apples, and the guy standing in the booth is like, wait, hey, you don't look, I know you like apples. I know you came to this booth because you love apples, but look at this. I have a watermelon. The person who walked up to the booth because they love apples is most likely not going to be interested in the watermelon. So that's the takeaway here. Don't be the watermelon. So how do we do this kind of comp research? I talked a little bit about going to Amazon, and that is where I would recommend you look, even if you are a wide author, only because their search bar and the way that the pages come up and load is so much easier to navigate than some of the other retailers. But you can do this on Kobo. You can do this on Apple. You can do it wherever you want to. But the key is to search the keywords that you will most likely use when you list your book. Search the genre. Search the words that you use to describe your book and the tropes. So if you are using a friends to lovers trope, search small town steamy friends to lovers, see what comes up. Those are the books that you want to start digging into. And here are the things that you want to look at. Covers. Does your cover look similar to the other covers that pop up when you search these terms? If you've got a cartoon cover with a dog on it and everyone else is using exclusive photos, or even stock photography that they have gotten, with a big bold title, and yours has a tiny little scripty font thing, you may want to rethink your cover. I know when I launched my first book as Delancey back in 2013, I had it in my head that it should stand out and that would be really important. Granted, in 2013, it was a whole lot easier to stand out on Amazon than it is in 2024. But my first book, it stood out, but not in a good way. So you do obviously want a beautiful cover and something that calls attention to your book, but you don't want it to stand out because it is so different from everything else in its genre, in its, you know, on its page. When you go to Barnes and Noble and you're looking for a book in a certain category and you see all those beautiful spines lined up, you may reach for the one that stands out. But if when you look at it, it's the watermelon, you're going to put it right back and be like, wow, that's weird. And then move on to the thing that you really want, because nothing about the watermelon signals that it is actually the apple that you were looking for, right? Okay. So covers, very important. We talked about style. So you want to look at the look inside or the read a sample for some of the books that you consider your comps and see if they are written in the same style. They don't all have to be the same, but as long as there's a good smattering of books that you would call comparable to your own that are written the same way that yours is. So two narrators, same tense, past, present, and same point of view, first person or third person, or second person, I guess, if that's a thing, then you're on the right track. If you find that you've written one way and everything else you can find in your area is written differently, you may be looking at a revision if you want the book to sell, which most of the time is what we're aiming for, right? Unless you're only publishing it so that your grandma can hold it in her little hands and say, look, she made a book. But most of us at this point are looking for actual sales. And so these tips are geared toward helping you sell your book. The other thing that is really important is the blurb. I've got lots of resources on the Evident Inc. site about blurb writing, and we actually do write blurbs as a service as well. A big part of how we formulate the blurb is this comparative research. So what I recommend is exactly what we did with covers, exactly what we did when we were looking at point of view. Go read blurbs. Go read blurbs specifically in your genre and make sure that the style of your blurb is similar to at least some of the ones that you're finding. If they're all really short and snappy, like a lot of contemporary romance tends to be, especially darker romance tends to be, then you want to make sure that yours is in line with that. Don't have a 4-paragraph blurb if all the other ones that you're finding are 6 lines. So make sure that yours is similar to those you're looking at. That's all this is. And I know that it seems like I'm telling you to copy what you're finding. And that is not the message that I want you to take away at all. But again, you don't want to be the watermelon. So make sure that your book looks like an apple. Another thing that you might like to do to figure out who your comps are, because I remember there was a point where I wasn't sure what I was writing. I mean, I kind of knew, but I wasn't exactly sure who I could list my comps as. I got very torn between listing authors who I admired and wanted my books to be like, and listing authors who were my actual comps, who I shared readers with. So if you don't know who you share readers with and who your actual comps are, that's okay. It takes a little while to figure out. One way that you can start to figure that out is by reading the reviews that readers have left on authors' books and compare them to your own reviews. Look for words like, you know, deep characterization, emotional resonance, funny, quirky, side characters, small towns. You're looking for similarities again. So any words that you share, that your reviews share with other authors, might be a signal that you have similar readers. Another thing that you can do is go to the websites or the Facebook pages of the authors who you are considering as possible comps and see how they're talking about themselves, about their books, about what they write. And if what they're saying feels authentic to you, feels familiar, feels like, yeah, that's what I'm doing, then you may share readers. Really important note here. There have been instances of authors using comparative research as a way to try to game the market, to try to make themselves into an author that looks just like someone who is very popular or someone who has had some success. That is not what I am recommending at all. What I am trying to do is help you understand how to figure out who you are and what it is that you are selling, because that's really the essence of your author branding. I want to do a whole separate episode about finding your authentic author brand. I don't know if I have talked a lot about my experience as a brand identity specialist, but I've worked for marketing firms helping especially startup companies identify their key messaging. There's a lot of similarities between the author world, the independent author world at least, and the tech startup world, because you get these really brilliant founders who have some fantastic technology that they've come up with that does something that we all really need. And they are fantastic at talking about the thing. And inevitably, depending on how long they've been working on the thing, they've developed a set of buzzwords that they like to use when they talk about it and a way of describing it that is very unique to them. And they start to, as my husband would say, eat their own dog food, to the point where they are no longer talking to a market. They're talking only to themselves about this thing that they have made. And when I meet them and I start going through the branding process with them, usually it's a lot of fun trying to get down to, hey, okay, what is the thing actually? And that's sort of what I do with authors too. Like, why did you start writing? Why did you start writing the thing that you're writing? What is it that you are trying to express in these books? I'll give you an example. And it took me a long time to come to. But for me, what I am trying to express in the books that Delancey Stewart writes is that sometimes found family is more important or just as good as or as important as the families that we are born into. That's probably my biggest theme. And every single one of my books has some element of found family as a very key point to the story, because that's really important to me. My life philosophy revolves around the idea that life is about the connections that we make and the people who we touch and what we learn from each other. So that is the essence of my books. And I work with authors to figure out what their essence is in the same way that I work with tech founders to move past the buzzwords that they use to talk about this thing they created into a more universal set of words that anyone can understand and that will make people want to buy the thing. Having a great thing is good for you, but unless you have words that make other people understand what the thing is and understand how they need it, then it doesn't do you any good, right? So that's what we're working towards when we try to identify what our author comps or who our author comps are, is finding a universal language that readers will understand when they seek to learn about the books that we are publishing. We want to give them a set of words that describe the books that tells them whether or not the books are for them. Readers, especially romance readers, go out looking for very specific things. They know which tropes they like. They know whether they like first person or third person. And those are the things that they go looking for. So you want to be very clear when you market your books about what it is you've got. And the readers will find you and you'll find them, but you need to know what you're selling, right? So the key is to understand the market that you are entering before you dive into the deep end. Speaking from experience here, I did not do that. And it honestly took me probably about 6 years to find my audience and to figure out what I was actually selling. And that's not a bad thing. If you haven't done any of this, if you just started publishing and your books, maybe they did really well, I still recommend that you figure out what it is you're selling, because it can only help you in the long run. Don't be afraid to take a couple steps back and look at what you've already got out there and try to figure out where it really fits. You may end up increasing your sales on existing backlist by just tweaking a couple of things to get things in line with your market. Or you may find that launching your next book becomes that much easier because you really took the time to understand the market that you are launching into. So I don't have a lot more to say about that, except that if you look backwards and realize that maybe you didn't do this as well as you could have in the past, that's the beautiful thing about being an indie author, right? Retitle, rebrand, recover, do whatever you need to do, your products are your products. So you are always able to repackage and relaunch your products into the market. And because our readers are constantly evolving and shifting, there's always a new group of readers coming up looking for your book. All right, so hopefully this is helpful. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to reach out. You can always email me. I'm nancy@evidentinc.com. Or you can track me down on our website, submit a form. I always get back to those pretty quickly. And I would love to talk with you, work with you, answer any questions. I hope that you have a great day and happy writing.
You can find story writing tips, tricks, coaching, and courses at our site, www.evidentinc.com. Get live feedback in our writing community at Facebook at facebook.com/evidentinc. And find past episodes of Story Strategy at our YouTube channel. Story powers the world, and we can't wait to help you tell yours.